Today was one of the busiest patient appointment days Victoria had experienced since she set up practice in Harbor Cove. Perhaps the locals were now beginning to accept her as their doctor, or maybe they were just getting a little bit more nosy to find out what she was all about. Today's schedule was packed with nearly 20 patients for the morning. Fortunately, none of them had been emergencies. It was past lunchtime and she needed a break. She decided before she grabbed some lunch, she would hurry down to the mailbox and get her mail. Mr. Stubbs, the mailman, had stopped complaining about delivering her journals after she had the new red mailbox installed. He could easily get all of her mail and medical journals into that big red box with no problems now. "Now Edna will have nothing bad to say about him," she laughed to herself. She reached into her mailbox and scooped up a handful of letters and a load of new medical journals. There was also a compact package of drug samples that one of the pharmaceutical reps had sent her and the Sunday Portland Press Herald newspaper. Her new red mailbox easily accommodated all of this mail. She was glad she had changed it from the drab little black mailbox that was previously there. "I can see why Mr. Stubbs complained. I would too if I had to stuff all of this mail of mine into a dinky mailbox," she said to herself. Back in her kitchen, Victoria poured herself a fresh cup of coffee and sat down to eat a bowl of leftover cold macaroni and cheese and some coleslaw Edna had made her. She sorted through the stack of mail on the kitchen table, looking to see if any of her patients had submitted overdue payments. There was a bill payment from Walter Stokes, a 91-year-old man who lived just a block away. Finally, the old guy had paid Victoria for his last office visit, which was over 8 months ago. Victoria thought the man would probably be dead before he ever got around to paying her. "Yes, Mom always told me patience was a virtue," she said, smiling to herself. She poured herself another cup of coffee and continued sorting through her mail. At the bottom of the pile was a crisp white envelope addressed in red ink to Victoria Vincent, M.D. The outside of the envelope was identical to the one she received a few days ago. "Oh, here we go again. Now what brilliant bit of information does this one offer?" she asked herself. "Another teenage prank, I bet." She opened the envelope and slowly unfolded the enclosed letter. Her eyes widened as she read the words written in red ink. "You know Nick does not belong here. I told you never to be a disobedient girl and make Daddy mad." And it was signed M. She read the words over and over. The words were haunting. She did not understand what was happening. Who would know that Nick was coming to Harbor Cove? She questioned herself. This is crazy. No one knew her personal business, and no one knew of her past. But could it be possible that someone in Harbor Cove knows what had happened to her years ago? Or had he finally found her in Harbor Cove? Impossible! He was dead. Murdoch was his name. M for Murdoch. The man who had falsely imprisoned Victoria for over a year in an 8x10 steel cage hidden away in a dark corner in the basement of his suburban Maryland home. It had been horrifying. Melvin Murdoch lived in an upscale neighborhood in Baltimore County where there was little crime. It was a quiet and friendly area filled with upper middle class families. No one suspected this kind and neighborly man named Melvin Murdoch was a serial murderer. He targeted young women in the medical profession in the Baltimore-Washington corridor. He thought of Victoria as his caged pet, who he could tease and play with, but never kill. She was different. Victoria finally escaped her cage horror on Christmas Day 1991, when Murdoch accidentally left the cage door open. She fled to her freedom to Murdoch's neighbor's house and pled for help. The police were quickly summoned and they arrested Murdoch while he was eating Christmas dinner at his mother's house just a block away. It was a dinner he would never forget. Murdoch stood trial 3 months later and was convicted of false imprisonment with intent to murder Dr. Victoria Vincent. He was found guilty on both counts and sentenced to life in prison without parole and sent to a Baltimore maximum security facility. There was not evidence enough to convict him of the unsolved murders of six other Baltimore female physicians. All six women had been medical professionals within 50 miles of Baltimore City and had had Murdoch as a patient at one time. Murdoch had been one of Victoria's patients for over 5 years. He loved how she made him feel like an important man. She wasn't like the other doctors who constantly criticized him for the fast food he ate, how grossly overweight he was, and why he didn't take his medications as directed. He hated every one of those other useless women doctors who talked to him as if he were a child. Then he met Dr. Victoria Vincent. She was kind to him and didn't pass judgment on how he looked and what he ate. So he planned to make her his little caged pet so he could keep her close to him forever. His last words to her over 20 years ago after the lengthy courtroom trial were the following. "Daddy will be in touch." No way, not possible. Victoria's attorney had notified her Murdoch had died of a fatal stab wound in that Baltimore maximum security prison a few years ago. Victoria had saved his obituary from the Baltimore Sun as conclusive proof. They cremated his body. He was gone. End of story. The letters she had been receiving were not random teenage pranks, and surely not some hateful Harbor Cove resident hoping to drive her out of town. Had her daddy finally found her? No, that's impossible. It's not him. He's dead and gone. Dead and gone. Cremated. Thrown away. His sister Beth took his ashes and tossed them off the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, where they were carried out to the deep waters of the Atlantic Ocean. He lays in silence, imprisoned in a silver urn on the cold and dark bottom of the ocean floor. But he continues to think of me and wants me. his little pet. How do I know this? Daddy told me.